Do you have questions from the Bible? Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.
That's what we promised to do, to search for answers. And so when we read the scripture coming out of the book of Acts, the Bible says in chapter 7 and verse 32, I am the God of your forefathers. Then it names the forefathers that he is speaking about, him being the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And so when we go into our conversation this evening, we are wanting to understand these forefathers. Is that not actually restricting that this nationality, the people who have as direct descendants, as progeny of these ancestors, are the ones who can refer to this God? He's telling you, quote unquote, in no uncertain terms, who he is God of. And if you're not having those as your forefathers, perhaps then you must look for your own God, who your forefathers calling God. So that's the conversation we're going to be having, to say, are we mistaking our understanding when we come in from come at it rather from that perspective? Or perhaps it's something broader than that we're not seeing. What does the Bible say? And so that's our conversation this evening in this first segment as we speak to Pastor Brighton Manyepa, who joins us now on the line. Mfundisi, good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, Derek. How are you, my brother?
No, doing all right, Pastor. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm all right, man. God is sustaining us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise him for that. We praise him for that. Mfundisi, trusting that we find you well and the Lord is keeping you?
Indeed, man. Indeed. It's a blessing always to be here sharing God's word, man.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, happy Sabbath to you, and thank you once again for joining us to talk about these particular matters that we would want to understand if we're not lost in following this God that we find in the scriptures. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to then ask Pastor Manyepa that as we begin our conversation, would you please pray for us so that when we jump in, we're not going in alone, but the Lord will be guiding us through his Spirit.
Indeed, indeed. Shall we pray?
Mm-hmm.
Father in heaven, we come humbly before your holy throne of mercy. We are so thankful, Lord, for your love and your mercy that endure it forever. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. We solicit your presence. We solicit the presence of the Holy Spirit. Imbue us, O Lord, that whatever we shall say and whatever we shall do, may it glorify your name.
Oh, yes.
We pray that you be with us as we delve into this study. We pray, O Lord, that you may lead us and guide us into your truth, and help us, O Lord, to understand and to know you better. Help us and shape us into a people that you want us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Truly appreciate that, Pastor. We appreciate you once again as you are going to be guiding us this evening, taking a look at what the Bible is going to be talking about and guiding us in this very particular matter. Maybe let's start off like this, Mfundisi. We want to understand, as we lay the base and the foundation for our conversation this evening, is faith universal? Religion. Do you find it across all cultures that everybody has a faith, as a religion, as an understanding of a deity? I'm trying to picture what the Bible would say in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, that in sundry times, King James would use that word, in times past, other versions would say, God has spoken to us in various manners. Is this meaning just for the Jewish nation, or it's speaking about it as in all different cultures, religions, and peoples under the earth?
Yeah, that's a powerful question. First of all, you know, when we are delving into such a topic, we need to clarify first, you know, are we discussing within the context of the Bible, or it's just philosophical?
Okay.
We are discussing in the context of world religions, you know. But because I'm a Christian, and maybe the discussion that we want to have is to see where Christianity fits, how we have come to have the religion that we have. Because there are so many religions. But coming to your question, to say, you know, is religion universal? I want to say God created humanity, humankind, for a sole purpose of worshiping him. That is why we were created to worship God. You know, that's an explanation from the Christian point of view, or from those who believe there is a God, there is a creator. But there are those who believe in a Big Bang theory, you know, who don't believe that, you know, what we have
there's a divine being out there,
created, was designed. You know, those who believe they are gods on themselves, you know, it's different now. They have their own way. But to those who believe there is a creator, to those who see this universe and see the design and believe that there is a creator, they would understand that. Even those who don't believe, every one of us have got that desire inside of us. We were, it's an innate thing. We were born with it. We were born to worship. So it's either you worship God or you worship something else.
But at the end of the day, you're worshiping. You must be. You can't help but worship as a human being, is what you're saying, Vundis.
Definitely.
So, Pastor, you actually...
everyone believes of a higher power, you know, everybody. That's what makes us humans.
You remind me, Mfundisi, of that old statement. We are created with a God-shaped void within us, and so we can't help but somehow lean towards. We try to fill it with other things and other satisfactions and solutions. But actually, it's God we're actually looking for. Okay, all right, Mfundisi, we'll see how that then goes as we continue with our study this evening. Mfundisi, talk to us then as we delve deeper now. It's okay, fine. We all have some sort of faith, some sort of religion. Almost every culture under the sun find themselves wanting to worship. Is then this? Yes, Mfundisi.
Yeah, I was just laughing. You know the way you were creating your question.
Yeah, I'm wanting to then understand. Isn't faith, I mean, when you look at it, every, like you're saying, every culture, when you look at the writings and anthropology and archaeology will tell you how almost there's the God of this. You come to Africa, the African God, or not even the African God, that's just too broad and sometimes I want to use a stronger word, but maybe let's go with naive and a big ignorant, to think that in Africa there is one God. But you kind of come across, when you come to the Shona people, they have their understanding of God. You come to maybe some of the tribes in South Africa, they also have their appreciation of God. And so you see, even by the names that we give this God, that it might seem a bit protective and a bit restrictive to say this is our God and this is their God and their God. I mean, the Bible will even go into stating it like that. Dagon was the God of the Philistines, you know. He was the Philistine God. You know, when you go to Ashtoreth, he's the Moabitess, you know, and so forth. And so almost every culture and nationality has a particular God or deity that they worship. Isn't that how it's supposed to be, Mfundisi? I'm just trying to understand here, because today we almost have this idea of a universal approach, but the scripture kind of presents, I mean, even Ruth, I remember Ruth, the Moabitess, right? When she is being told by her mother-in-law to say, hey, you know what, I'm going back home, you go home to your people. And then Ruth is like, no, mommy, your God will now be my God, which means kind of hints that she understood she had her God, but she's now taking on the God of Naomi and her late husband, God, right? So I'm trying to understand, isn't that how it's supposed to be? Is that not the norm that every religion and every culture, every faith has, I mean, every people have their own God?
Yeah, man, that's a deep question, you know. That's a very, very deep question. But maybe let me answer it, you know, not in a deeper way.
Okay.
I'll try to answer it in a lighter way for the listeners.
All right.
You know, so that we do together. Let me first of all, because there are two answers to to this particular question.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is that different nationalities, when we put Israel here and their God, and then with the Philistines, the other nations and their God, today we have the Buddhists there, we have the Hindus there, we have, you know, these other religions with their God, you see, and we have Christianity here with their God. How is this? First of all, let me say, because of the first question that we have answered, that everyone has got a desire to worship.
Yeah.
But what is worshipped now is what matters the most. Mm. You know, it's what makes us different.
Mm-hmm.
What are we worshipping? But every one of us has got that desire to worship.
Yeah.
So I want to zero in now to say there is only one God who created. There is a creator.
Okay. Okay.
And this God cannot be contained in human mind.
Okay.
This God, yeah, once we can put him in our minds, he ceases to be God. Mm. You see.
Mm.
This great God operates outside our time. He operates outside our space. We are his created beings. You know, there was this day when I was just, you know, by the ocean, and I was looking at the mighty ocean, and I was thinking, what kind of space does the earth occupy in God's hands? You know? And then I realized it's a tiny thing, but when you zoom in and you come to where I am, you know, what kind of a God is this God, you know? So once we contain God in our minds, he ceases to be God. Mm. But God has a way of revealing himself to us.
Okay.
That's why even our Christian God has got so many names, you know.
Mm.
It's because of how we relate to him. So I'm very much afraid of judging those who worship Allah, those who worship Buddha, those who worship... I don't want to be quick to judge those people. Because somehow we have to understand how do they relate to their God.
All
so
right.
that we can be sure to say that's a false God. Like, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, I like the book that you quoted, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, the book explicitly tells us that in the old days, you know, God spoke to our forefathers. He communicated directly with them, and they understood who he was against the other gods that were there, you see.
Yeah.
Unlike now, know, now we have also to differentiate between these other gods and the God that we have. And when we relate to him and when we give this God name, it doesn't mean now a different God. You know, like when in our Shona, we say Musikawan, you know, because we understand him as the creator of mankind.
All
but
right.
he didn't only create mankind. He created other things, you know. But I'm relating to him because of the creator of mankind. And there are some times when I relate to him when it comes to food as Jehovah Jireh, the provider, you know, the one who gives us food, the sustainer of our lives, you know. We relate to him that way. So these are the names that we give to God.
Mfundisi,
you know, our relational names.
I hear you, Mfundisi, and I hear how you're trying to be very diplomatic. It's as though there are people from other religions in the room, and we appreciate that. Definitely our listeners, we cover listeners from all over the different walks of life. But the challenge, Mfundisi, is that in as much as it sounds nice, it's very diplomatic and it sounds very courteous. It's simply not really true, is it, though? Because, and I wish you could be joining us next week on the Glorious Morning Show as we understand the Godhead, and we want to start off as we go into that conversation in the morning to address the different religions that are there and the different gods that are there, and then try to sift out to say which one is the true God that we can then say this is the one and we must worship him. Because Mfundisi, if you're going to say the name is not that important, then we wouldn't have those scriptures which will tell you that this Dagon, when the Ark of God was put in the same temple with Dagon, which was a god as well, then the other god fell flat on his face. Then the next day the other god fell flat on his face and his hands and his feet were cut off. That would not happen. Because you'd understand, oh, I'm still the same one, it's just a different name and a different application. Here we are having an understanding that no. Actually, there are gods, and in fact, that's what the Bible would tell us, right? If there be gods, says Paul, there are many. But then there is the one who is kind of supreme, who is kind of reigns and transcends all boundaries that are put there by men. And you started off very well. I liked how you're putting across the different gods. Right? You gave us this idea of a different religion, Hinduism. And already in my mind, I'm thinking those in India and the territories around them. You gave us Buddhism. And already in my mind, I'm thinking Asia and the territories around there. And you know, and you name these gods, and already in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, this territory.
oh, this nation, oh, this people, you know, and is that not what we're doing? And in fact, let me ask it like this, Pastor. When we talk evangelism,
Yes, you're very right there. Let me be explicit, maybe on how I'm talking about these other gods.
Okay.
You see, the Bible, you know, has got stages. It moves with us in stages.
All right.
In the Old Testament, it was clear. It was black and white because God was, you know, was there. And he would talk to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because it was, God was establishing a people. Mm-hmm. God was establishing mm-hmm. a generation. So you could see him, you know, taking his people out from the rest. And the rest would be worshiping different kinds of gods.
Okay.
And God would warn his people not to entertain those other gods.
Yes. You see. Mm. And that's my challenge.
Yes. And definitely there was that war of gods. You know, God will be fighting against these other gods just to prove that here is the true God.
Yeah.
So the whole of the Old Testament is about God proving that he is the true God.
The real G.
You see.
Mm.
Yes, exactly. So, and that's why Hebrews says God spoke, you know, through the prophets and through, you know, to our forefathers through the prophets,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was God. And now he is speaking through his word, through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, I like another verse. You know, I like the verse that you quoted in Acts chapter 7. You know?
Yes.
But Stephen had quoted it from Peter's sermon in chapter 3.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
Peter is the one. They used almost one and the same phrase.
Mm.
Yeah. Actually, this phrase, the forefathers' phrase, actually is very prominent in Acts when the church was beginning,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was there for a purpose. So we should take it in a context again, you know, because in chapter 3, verses 18, I think, we say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers is glorified in Jesus, you know. Yeah, he is now glorified in Jesus. So mm-hmm. They were accepting that we cannot talk of Jesus Christ outside the Old Testament God.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, we cannot talk of Jesus Christ outside the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, you know, the God of Israel.
Mm.
So it was purposefully said or asserted by this time because there was a transition from a nation to a worldwide people, you know.
Okay.
So... And there is another challenge. That's why we have so many religions today. You know, the topic that we are discussing is very, very dangerous because it formed so many religions.
Mm-hmm.
Many people deny the Old Testament because they want the freedom of worshiping their gods, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
They can start from the New Testament. You know, even Islam, you know, if we are to stay in the Old Testament, we will realize that there is no Islam. We are one, you know. That's why when the Bible emphasizes the God of our fathers in the New Testament, the emphasis is we should not throw away the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the foundation of the new.
Of the New Testament.
You see, because the new now is not only to a nation, but to the whole world, to the gospel has to spread to everybody. We are, even I deep down here in the South,
mm-hmm.
should know that I belong to that group of people who worship mm-hmm. God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer Israel as we knew it. It's now spiritual
Israel.
It's no longer physical. Yeah. So that's why there was this emphasis, the God of our forefathers, the God of our forefathers. Unfortunately, we are now abusing the term some years after now. We are now abusing the term and we are using the term out of context. We want to justify, you know, how we are worshiping our gods today.
And I think we will come to that, Mfundisi, to say how can we then be utilizing it properly. It's 17 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock. If you just joined us, welcome to the Bible Perspective right here on Adventist World Radio SID Media. My name is Derek, and I'm in conversation with Pastor Manyepa, but trying to understand the God of our forefathers and what it's actually meaning and how we're supposed to be utilizing it coming from our today context. Mfundisi, You address this idea of the New Testament God of our forefathers and how we're supposed to now be looking at it and how it's now all-inclusive and a universal term. Coming back again to that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, which speaks about how in this day now he has said, no, you know, the various ways, leave the various ways and come and use this one, which is the one Jesus Christ. I want to understand, Pastor, when we talk evangelism, now, converting other people from the different religions that they were worshipping, Islam, like you're saying, if we were in the Old Testament, we would be one people, but technically we're not. Because when you say Islam, again, coming to that phrase I brought earlier on, to say I already have a people in my mind who can be termed Islamic, right? Who are these Muslims? But if you're going to be now saying today, no, we are must evangelism says, as a person, let's take in our context, as a Christian, go speak to the Muslim and say, leave being a Muslim, come to Christianity. Go speak to the one who believes in African traditional religion and say, leave that, come to Christianity. Go to the Hindu, the Muslim, the atheist, go to every other person and call them to become a Christian. Is that not, in essence, cultural religious genocide? I mean, where we eradicate the native religions that these people were having. Here we have a picture of people being told to, I mean, you gave an example earlier on of how God would advise his nation, Israelites in particular. Deuteronomy is one example where he calls them, don't mingle with these other people because they will give you their gods and they will make you leave your God. In fact, that was Solomon's challenge, right? When he would make these alliances through marriage, that the women he got from the other nations trying to make alliances ended up turning his heart away from God. Is that not cultural genocide where we are now saying, leave your gods? And when you try to find out from a Christian who is an African, what actually is your religion? I would say Christian without doubt, but if you really look at what's my history, I struggle to tell you, are we not committing religious genocide in Mfundisi by evangelism?
Powerful question. You know, that's a very deep and sensitive question. But, you know, I can spend the whole day trying to explain that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, first of all, I want to say religion informs our culture.
Okay.
Yeah, religion informs our culture. You know, what we call culture probably is religion, you know. Even if we go back to live in the time when our forefathers were still alive, we realized that there were religions by then, you know, and our fathers sometimes would not subscribe to some of those religions that we are calling culture today, you know. And some were just mere entertainment, but we now call it culture today. You know, what is culture really? What are the fundamentals of culture?
Okay.
That's a question for another day. But nonetheless, I want us to really know the difference between culture and religion. You know, there is difference, but nonetheless, religion informs culture. So if we feel Christianity is eroding our culture, then there is something wrong with our Christianity, because Christianity should come and make us a people, you know, should come and make us a better people, you know, not to be worse.
Fundisi, am I hearing you well? Is that not what Christianity is, actually, an erosion of culture? I mean, surely we become new cultural people. We become Christians where the things we used to do, we don't do no more. Amasigo, as they would call them, what would be the word in Chishona? Christianetika, yes, tika. Where would you find these things we would have done in older days, you know, slaughtering cows when we go through certain periods, someone is getting married, you slaughter a cow, you speak to the forefathers so that they can pass on to Msikavano because you want to communicate how grateful you are. That's Christianity comes and say, no, uncivilized, cut. Now all you do is you say, thank you, Jehovah, and then you wear a suit and tie and you progress.
You know what, Derek? I always bemoan, the education that we have, when we get educated to throw away who we are, then there is a problem. And somehow, I don't want to be on this program and be blaming the whites who kind of colonized us.
Okay.
I don't want to sit here and blame them and not do anything. Yeah, those guys came and did their part. But now, we are free from those people. We should correct some errors that they did, Others came and failed dismally to contextualize, They could not contextualize. And now today, we wanted to try, I'm watching, what is happening around us today. We are trying to come up to terms now to say, are we not being westernized? Were we not westernized? And of course, instead of, becoming racist ourselves, let's just try to correct the wrongs that were done, I tell you, there are errors that happened in our worship, we worship, how we approach God. Emotionally, we were challenged. We were affected. Yeah. Now, when you become a history student, you realize that these missionaries came to Africa after a modernization started kicking in. So they came to Africa with, again, another baggage of modernization, you see. So when they came here with all those other political environments that were happening, the changing of the scientific era that was coming in, you realize that there were a lot of baggage that also came in to affect Ubuntu, tika. tradition.
Are you saying, Mfundisi, when you look at the African traditional way of doing things, the religion, quote unquote, that we had before Christianity came through, you look at Christianity, when done properly, is that your submission then, that when done properly, these two can actually merge without any challenge?
Definitely. Definitely. There is this scholar, I love this African scholar, John Mbiti.
Okay.
John Mbiti summarized it easily. He said, Africans are notoriously religious.
No, 100%. 100%. Being religious is not the issue. Being religious should not be mistaken, Mfundisi, for Christianity, though.
So now, I want us to take the Bible,
okay,
and all the traditions of the Israelites and place it in our cultures today, in our African culture, and tell me where we go wrong, Tell me where we go wrong.
Yeah, I think, Mfundisi, can we call you back for a conversation about that? Because I see that's a big deal that you're bringing across, and I'm so excited to look at how we can mesh these two. I think that's profound in the statement you're bringing across, and I don't want us to dwell too much there, but I'm so moved when you are saying, when done properly, these two can actually come to be the same thing. Maybe let's do this, Mfundisi. We've got about 10 or so minutes left for our discussion. I want us to come back to the statement, the God of our forefathers. to say, what then is the context that we can look at it and look at it correctly? Because like I said early on in our introduction, to say, when you look at some African traditional religion believers, when they look at you, Mfundisi, as a Christian, deep in worship, touching your heart and moved, calling the God of your forefathers, and then saying the God of Abraham, and I was like, how was it? I thought you were talking about Nehand and Kaguvi. No, you're calling Jacob and Abraham. We've never even seen, we don't even know where their graves are. Here are your forefathers. Who is the God that they were calling? Can they identify the God you're calling today as that God? Talk to us, Mfundisi, then, to say, what does that then mean, and how can we apply that? And are we then saying we must stop calling Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and replace that with my own traditional forefathers, and talk about Chaisha and Tranos and Gudo and Kerenias? Is that what I'm supposed to start calling because I'm trying to say I'm calling the God of my forefathers? How are the two related, and how can I be honest when I make that statement to say the God of my forefathers and not be a liar and really mean this God which is being found apparently in the Bible? Help me then to say, how do we wrap it up to say to the listener, you are not lost in actual fact when you call upon the God of your forefathers, but actually call it Abraham and Isaac and Jacob.
Yeah. Maybe let me say, we thank God for education, you know. Why? Because for us to stress and to understand why these, what kind of a God these people would worship.
Okay.
What kind of, what did God do to them? There is nothing wrong for me to realize how God fought for us to have independence. And I call upon that God to say, the God of our fathers who delivered us from the colonialism. There is nothing wrong to, you know, on that reference.
Okay.
It's just a reference point, you see. We have so many reference points in our lives. And we call upon that God. When I say, hey, when I see Derek being blessed, driving a powerful car, and I also need a car, I will pray and say, the God of Derek, may you also give me a car, you see? Because I've seen what you have done to Derek. So this of saying the God of Abraham, it is because of the covenant that God made with Abraham that we make Abraham the reference point, you see? It is that covenant that he renewed with Jacob that we make a reference point. And even he himself would say, he would relate to us or relate to the children of Israel. By that covenant, I made a covenant.
Okay.
I promised you. And because I promised Jacob, I promised Isaac, you cling to that promise today. So that's why there was this reference point all the way in the Old Testament. But today we are being told now by the same Bible that now he is speaking to us through Jesus Christ. There was a covenant made through Jesus Christ, whom the New Testament religion should make reference to.
Okay.
You see. Yes. So now, from there, I don't know what happened from the era of Jesus, you know, tracing my family tree. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
I don't know the God they were worshiping. But now, I thank God for opening my eyes, for bringing this light, that there is a creator God. And this creator God, you know, once sent his son to die for me, you know. And when I look at Christ, I'm proud to be African, man. I'm proud to be who I am today when I look at Christ. And when I read the Bible about Christ, I'm sure even all these other nations crave to be Africans. When you read of Simon of Cyrene helping Christ, when you read of Jesus as a young child coming to hide in Africa, in Egypt, when you read of how the Romans would persecute Christ, you'll be proud, man, of being an African. You know, when you realize that the gospel started in Africa and went to Europe from Africa, you know, you'll be proud of this Jesus. So I thank God for bringing this book to us. And one thing, you know, we become liars if we want to relate to the God of Neander, because we know nothing about that God. You know,
it's
just hear and say, you know, we don't know what they were doing, and we don't know really what, you know, it's just hear and say. Why Is it that there was nothing written about that? You know, people should write, you know, when they have an encounter with God, they write. And God encourages, write these things, write this, put it into writing so that it can be a testimony to future generations. And that has been our challenge. We did not write anything.
Yeah, Mfundisi, and then your last statement there, kind of like, yo, pastor, you're opening another can of worms. But history is always favors the one who is the victor, because it's written by the victors after all, right? So the ones who can write and go over people with the ones that we think, oh, okay, so their way is the one that is actually correct. Pastor, can I give you my closing remarks before I give you the option, the platform, pastor, to wrap up and pray with us? Here's my take. And you are the pastor, so I'm hoping that you can guide me and take us through. My take is, and I like how you came across earlier on speaking about the Creator God, right? And the scripture is replete with this kind of scriptures where he speaks on, I mean, God in the book of Isaiah saying, I am God and besides me, there is no other. It can either be arrogance, right? And just because he's got the platform and the one with the mic, he can say that. But otherwise, if you give it to somebody else, they can also repeat the same. It's either that or he really is. It's not arrogance. It's just stating a fact, right? So if he is then the true God and he's the one with the real account of man's history, so to speak, then it stands to reason that let's look at his account of where mankind comes from. He says he brought man from the dust of the ground, coming from the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve being then the first human parents, the first human beings ever created, who then gave birth to everybody that we see today. In that religion, or in that family, we then have different people who came through, but we get a funneling point coming to Noah, where we then say he wiped everybody else, and out of these eight people, he then said, I will then repopulate the earth again. Now, if that's the case, then it means that every person under the sun traces their roots to these people, right? These people that he has created, these people he has brought to us in the account of the scripture. It then stands to reason that if that's the case, then it doesn't matter if I am Mzukurwa, Kaguvi, and Nehan, and Chaminuka. It doesn't matter, because my roots trace back to that tree line of Noah and what God gave in terms of the family of faith. Because remember, he says to Abraham, I will make you the father of many nations, and you will be called the father of the faithful, right? So my relationship to Abraham, and I like how the pastor brought in earlier on this idea of a spiritual Israel. My relationship to Abraham might not be biological, but it is built upon a space of faith. And my accepting that what Abraham is representing is God's genealogy, God's progeny, where he's saying, I'm still the same God, and I am the God who is saying, I'm giving to Abraham the way in which you should worship me. And so when I then stand here as Derek Virimushona, Anova Kubohera, Mwanawa Kerenias, Mwanawa Chaisha, Mwanawa Gudo, I am saying, I am, yes, might not relate to Abraham physically as a biological child, but when I call him my forefather, I am understanding the faith that we received, which the pastor then identified and said, in these past days, God would say, no, you can go and kneel beneath the tree, Mutusina Zita, and clap your hands, and Pap Sadha would come, and you'll be given food. You would go into a certain faraway mountain and do things, and I would speak to you in a certain portion, and you would come under this particular scenario, and come through, and I would bring rain when you bring request to me in a certain manner. That was then. But Hebrews then says, after all these that God has spoken to us in the different eras, in this last day he has given us Christ. So in my approach, Mfundisi, that's how I would see that when I stand up and say I am the child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I'm not lying, and I'm not claiming another person's God, because there is the one God who transcends all other gods. That's my approach, Mfundisi, and maybe you can assist if I am lost and maybe bring me back to say, this is the way.
You know what, Derek? You have just said it in a profound way. When you combine all these ideas, you realize that you are not lost. You know, there is no shame in acknowledging your parents or your forefathers. There is no shame in that. You know, if Christianity teaches us to be ashamed of where we come from, you know, of even acknowledging our grandparents, you know, there is a problem. But you know, Christianity has come to actually help us relate better with dead people. You know, it has come to help us relate better with those who are dead. You know, that we now call ancestors. You know, but there is no shame to be connected with my ancestors, with my forefathers. There is no shame in that. So if I have an understanding of how my ancestors related to God, I can as well kneel down, pray to that God, to say, God, you appeared here to my forefathers and you gave them something. I have come again to this place. I'm asking you to do this. Now, because we know the God that we are praying to, you know, we are not praying to dead people. We are asking from the Creator God. You know, that's the best thing that is happening to us. We now have, you know, both sides of the story. You know, unlike our parents who didn't know what was happening, they thought dead people are the ones providing or, you know, something like that. And then they will start worshiping the dead, you know, and they start believing that the dead is alive. But for us now today, we now know. That's why we can climb the mountain and worship in the mountain and pray for water in there, to say, pray for rain in there. Father, may you cause rain to rain upon us. You know, we can go and pray for rains in mountains, under the trees, wherever, inside our bedroom, we can pray for rain. We now know, you know, unlike when it was mysterious and it was mysticism that was happening. Now we understand how these did it. So even today, we can pray, we can have rainmakers. You know, I was reading this, this Bible is crazy, man, when you read it. You know, I was reading about Saul's concubine. You know, this lady, when Saul was not buried properly, this lady went and put a blanket on a rock.
Okay.
And it did not rain. And it did not rain. The whole land of Israel was cursed. It did not rain because of that small activity that that lady had done. And when David inquired, and the lady said, how can there be peace in the land when the king is not buried well? And when they went and took Saul and Jonathan's bones and buried them in Kish's tomb, there was a rain, man.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, and God entreated the land. So there are things that we do even today that causes the land to be cursed. And we think it's an archaic culture or something else. This Bible is full of these things. You know, that's why even today we cannot deal with demons, you know, and we are afraid even to go into that territory because we are not doing it the proper way. We are running away from reality. When we combine our lives today and the Bible is very, very intimate, man. The Bible promotes a relationship. God wants a relationship with us than just, you know, bringing people to Christ. I like when you said Christianity becomes a genocide to culture
and you know, other religions,
Yeah, you know, but, you know, even when Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it should be verse 15, I think, which says, for thou, you know, you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have any father. You do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. You know, you know, he's saying, in as much, you know, as we may claim many fathers, he's talking about that paternal care, you know, that, you know, we have fathers we can refer to, those who brought the gospel to us, you know, those who really taught us Christ, they unite us to our fathers. When Elijah comes, he will unite the hearts of the sons to their fathers, you know.
Yeah. Hey, Mfundisi, thank you so much, man. Unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there. I want to request that you please pray for us as we wrap up this one for today.
Thank you so much, Derek. Thank you for having me. And thank you, listeners, for the time that we had. Shall we pray? To our kind and loving Father who art above, Father, we thank you. for you care for us. Father, we thank you for you reveal yourself to us so that we know you better.
Mm.
And we thank you for this study that we had, for this discussion. We believe and trust that it has touched some lives
out there.
Oh, yes. We believe and trust it has drawn someone closer to you. Father, we are living in a confused world. If we are not careful, we may be swept away.
Mm.
We pray that you may illuminate, you may reveal yourself to us. We pray, O Father, that you cause your word to really inspire us and change us, shape us into a people that you want us to be. We are so thankful, Lord, for this time. We continue to solicit your presence. We continue to ask for your guidance and for the leading of the Holy Spirit that continue to lead us and to guide us in all truth.
Oh, yes.
For only the truth shall set us free. We are so thankful, Lord, for you have heard us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. May God bless you and have yourself a blessed Sabbath further.
Thank you, my brother, Derek. May God bless you.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.